Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 11, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Tadvag visargo janathagha viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadhavatyapi namantyanantasya yashonkitani yachchinvanti gayanti gurnanti sadhavaha.
Please read the translation. This is a fairly long purport. I'm going to go through it section by section. This classic purport, it's really a masterpiece just in itself. It's practically a statement of Srila Prabhupada's whole mission and vision. In English, at least, the translation begins with the words, "On the other hand." It begins like that in Russian also?
No, here, but.
Yeah, on the other hand is a sophisticated way of saying but. So this means that it's in opposition to the previous verse. Does anyone know what the previous verse is, or in the sum and substance of it they can say in Russian? Does anyone know? Yeah, please say. Okay, say it. Say it then.
Should I write the whole?
No, she's got the essence of it. Very good. Thank you very much.
That literature which does not glorify the Supreme Lord is like a pilgrimage place for crows.
Who's speaking these verses? Narada Muni, that's correct. Who's he speaking to? Vyasadeva. What's he referring to when he says the literature which is like the pilgrimage place for crows? He's referring to any literature apart from Srimad Bhagavatam, practically. But he's specifically talking about Vyasadeva's compiling the Vedas, because they don't directly explain the glories of the Supreme Lord. There are little bits here and there, but directly only the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Supreme Lord, which is why Vyasadeva had to compile it on the order of Narada. So this verse is like a personal motto for Srila Prabhupada also, because abadhavatyapi, even though imperfectly composed, it's stated here, because it glorifies the Supreme Lord, therefore, shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava, therefore, honest, Srila Prabhupada here translates sadhu as purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purified men who are thoroughly honest. I mean, these are monumental contributions to the English language. They have no such terms. English or any other language after that. Yeah. Sadhu is here defined as a purified man who is thoroughly honest. So Srila Prabhupada, he applied this to his own translations and his own speaking of the Bhagavat Katha, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That even though Srila Prabhupada's... I mean, English itself is a very strange language. And Srila Prabhupada's rendition of it was... I mean, it's a highly irregular language. And Srila Prabhupada's rendition of it was irregular. But Srila Prabhupada was confident that persons who are Brahma Jignyasa, those who are serious to understand the truth, they will appreciate the message which he is presenting, even though it is not his, Srila Prabhupada's use of English grammar, and in many cases the pronunciation was irregular according to standard English usage. It was Indian usage, which is something strange. for English speakers. Now, a very important word in this verse, as applied to Srila Prabhupada's mission, is viplavaha, which means revolution. Or here Srila Prabhupada's rendered it in the adjectival form as revolutionary. Now, here it's stated that literature, which is directly glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will bring about a revolution in the misdirected lives, or the impious lives of a misdirected civilization. Janata Agha means the sinful populace. Srila Prabhupada, he brought Srimad Bhagavatam to the sinful populace. At the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that this Bhagavatam will be appreciated by those who are Niyamatsaranam Satam, those saintly persons whose saintliness is characterized by freedom from envy. Therefore, Bhagavatam is known as Paramahamsa Sanghita. It's the summation of spiritual knowledge, which is very appreciated by persons who are beyond dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Ordinary religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and the desire for liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsam. This word comes up. Yad Paramahamsam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Atra Jnana Viraga Bhaktim Jnana Viraga Naishkamyam Arvishkritam Yat Trinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Vimuchyan Naraha. Srimad Bhagavatam itself states that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. That means there is no recommendation for dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. Therefore, it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. And herein, yasmin, the same word, in which, same word as is used in this verse, is that knowledge, that spotless knowledge, which is sung by the Paramahamsas, persons who are beyond dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Atra, here, jnana viraga sahitam naishkamyam avishkritam. Here is an exposition of that kind of work which will not bind us in this material world, that bhakti, working for Krishna, which is devoid of mundane fruitive activities and mental speculation. Therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam should be heard, carefully recited, Tachinvan Supartan Vicharana Paro, applying our intelligence, judgmental faculties. In other words, not just like reading like a parrot. And if anyone does that, then they will go back to Godhead. Bhagavatam is Paramahamsa Samhita, but in this particular verse which we're reading today, it's described that it will create a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. By distribution of this Bhagavatam, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, we got this far, we read out that as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. So, actually, this verse, written by Vyasadev, spoken by Narad to Vyasadev, and then later written down by Vyasadev, predicts Srila Prabhupada's mission. Because Bhagavatam was never preached among the sinful people. It was preached among pious people. Can everyone hear? Yeah. So, as I was saying, Srila Prabhupada, he practically recognized this in his introduction to the Bhagavatam. In his preface, he quoted this, how this Bhagavatam will change the world. And in the prayers which Srila Prabhupada composed while on the ship, Jaladuta, he was saying, he was questioning, he was giving the rhetorical question, well, how are these ignorant people overcome by the lower modes of nature, how will they take to Krishna consciousness? And he himself answered that question, that by hearing again and again the message of Bhagavatam, they will become purified. Srila Prabhupada went to America with his volumes of Bhagavatam for distribution. When he had brought out three volumes of the first canto of Bhagavatam, he thought, now I'm ready to go. Now I'm ready to go. He had for his own personal reading a copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and for distribution, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he had two pictures of Panchatattva and no picture of Radha Krishna, as it happened. So this purport of Srila Prabhupada is really a tremendous classic, which if anyone wants to write a PhD thesis, you can write it on this purport. I can't explain because I'm reading it in English, but English is a lousy language, but Prabhupada makes it something. It's, you know, lousy. All right, I'll look it up. Lousy. It literally means full of lice. Full of lice. You know those things that get in your hair, if you have hair? It extremely contemptible, nasty, inferior, worthless. Okay, so English is more or less a lousy language, but Srila Prabhupada has purified that language by preaching Krishna consciousness in it. So his writing reads like poetry. Now it's the nature of poetry to it appeals to the inner consciousness and affects the emotions, doesn't it? Poetry. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, he says that poetry should be like an arrow. He said, what is the use of a poem? Should be, unless it, like an arrow, he said, what is the use if it simply enters the body, but it should make the head spin? So mundane poetry makes the head spin through 84 lakh species of life, 8,400,000 species. It gives a sense of profundity, but actually in material life nothing is profound. It's simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. If you put everything, all the philosophy, poetry, achievements of mankind, put it all together, what is it all worth? Throughout the whole history of man, it's all worth zero. And you will, the net result of all of this is you get the, you become qualified to take birth as a worm in stool. Someone says, this is a highly qualified person, MSc, PhD. So we say, well, it's a qualification for becoming a worm in stool, that's all. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada uses the word qualification, but Srila Prabhupada's writing, it's profound, because it is for this purpose of namanyanantasya yashonkitani. It's the meant for glorification of the unlimited Supreme Lord, his names, forms, qualities, and pastimes. So Prabhupada writes here that it is a qualification, this is the first line of the purport, it is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. And he's actually quoting Chanakya Pandit. And Chanakya Pandit says that an intelligent person should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, gold from a filthy place. Just like if someone has a gold necklace and it slips in the filthy drain, you pick it up out of there. A good and qualified wife, even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. Because generally teacher, I mean, one who gives good lessons means that it should be from a Brahmin background who's trained in spiritual knowledge. They can give good lessons. They're untouchables. They're meat eaters and drunkards and womanizers and in the lowest modes of nature, and you don't expect any wisdom coming from them. But if by chance an untouchable person happens to say something which is valuable, then someone who's intelligent will accept it, not considering that it's coming from an unexpected source. An example of this is in the life of Shankaracharya. He was, when he was in Varanasi, he was bathing in a ghat, the bathing place at the Ganga. And as he was, he finished bathing and he was coming up, and there was a chandala in his pathway. So, of course, chandala has to get out of the way if a Brahmin is coming. That's the way, way, long way out of the way. That's the normal social etiquette. But he didn't move, and then Shankaracharya indicated that he should move. But the chandala challenged him that, well, if you see everything as Brahman, then you're Brahman, I'm Brahman, and what's the difference? So Shankaracharya has admitted, yes, what you say is correct. So anyway, these are Srila Prabhupada comments that these are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. Then another Prabhupada classic saying in the next sentence, but a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. Saint, Srila Prabhupada used as a synonym of sadhu, the Sanskrit word sadhu. I think in the English usage of saint, you usually refer to someone who's already died, isn't it?
Mostly.
Yeah, so in Russian also. Now, why is that so? Why is a saint or a sadhu, as referred to in this verse, sadhava, why is a sadhu far above the level of an ordinary man? And the answer is given in the next sentence, which is quite a long sentence. Because he, the sadhu, is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord. Because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. So we can take these few words, and that gives the tenor of Srila Prabhupada's whole mission, or the essence of Srila Prabhupada's whole mission. By broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And that ties in with the Janataga Viplava, a revolution in the impious lives of a misdirected civilization, sinful population. So Srila Prabhupada's whole mission was to broadcast the name and fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to bring about a change in the sinful, to change the whole sinful society and make it God conscious. Now note the usage of words. Prabhupada doesn't say that by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, we're trying to change the world. He says the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. It must change. It's not maybe, but it will change. Srila Prabhupada was very sure of this, that if we propagate Krishna consciousness, the world will change. At one time, nuclear war between the NATO forces and the Warsaw Pact forces, which means more or less America and their allies and the USSR and their allies, that seemed inevitable when Prabhupada was present here in this world. But Srila Prabhupada said, he told his disciples, if you distribute my books in the Soviet Union, then the nuclear war will be averted. So everyone says it's because of Gorbachev, but we say it's because of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada and his followers, I mean, it's his followers also took a lot of risk and to do that. Let that not be forgotten. So, as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. So by saying that people will become sane in their transactions, Prabhupada is indirectly stating that people are insane presently in their dealings. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to give an example of this.
И далее
Шрила... insanity in human dealings. Srila Prabhupada is writing this in 1962, I believe it was. So you can read the next, well, in English it... while preparing this commentation...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll read the next two... while preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. Yeah, so read that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that China had attacked the northeast border of India and occupied some land, which they still occupy. So it was a political and military crisis. They didn't, you see, they didn't know that the Chinese, they might have gone on marching and marching and taken on the whole of India. They, at the time, you couldn't say. But as it happened, they stopped with just taking over some useless mountains in the middle of nowhere. So Prabhupada goes on to write, we have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. Well, this is going back quite a long time before Kali Yuga, because political diplomacy became quite apparent in the time of the Pandava Kuru quarrel. Another interesting point is that, well, previously there weren't any such countries as China or India. In the modern way of thinking, we think, well, there's a country and someone has to be in charge of it. But in the traditional way of thinking, there were kings and they had to be in charge of a place. Just like you see, the Pandavas, they would have been content with one village each to rule over. But as Kshatriyas, they needed to execute their dharma, they had to rule over something. So there wasn't this national consciousness, rather that one is the citizens are under the protection of the king. So Prabhupada goes on, there is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. Yeah, that land which China attacked and annexed is actually, it's just mountain ranges, which I don't know, no one lives there even, practically.
And
certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. Now, here's an important point. Due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. And therefore we see big disturbances over little things. In the 1970s in Central America, there are two small countries, El Salvador and Honduras. Due to some disagreement during a football game, the two countries went to war. I mean, practically this football game, the football game is incidental. The fighting between the fans seems to be the main thing. In the football game, football, the actual playing, that doesn't seem to be very important. The main thing the fans go for is fighting with each other. Seems to be the main thing. They need something to fight over. There's no real reason to fight because someone kicked a ball this way or that way or some other way. But they need some excuse to fight, and football is just as good as any other one. So, there's always... This is due... not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Now, this is a very important point. I mean, even among devotees, we often see that, you know, there's some disagreement and they're arguing and what's the point? You know, he said this and then they said that and they did this and they did that. But Prabhupada says here, it's not the actual issue they're fighting over. It's just because of polluted, contaminated consciousness that people are fighting. Then Prabhupada writes, systematically there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. What is that systematic endeavor to stop the glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord?
Gospoda.
Well, there's the educational system.
with evolutionary theory and in which the goal of life is promoted as you have to get an education so you can get a job so you can eat, sleep, mate and defend. And knowledge of God is unwelcome in the educational system, mostly throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada, of course, was writing this in India, where the glorification of the Supreme Lord is banned in the educational system.
Banned?
Banned. Forbidden. They think it's wrong to teach children about God. Earlier this year, I visited Sri Lanka for the first time. And I went to a school and there were young children and I was asking, what's the most important thing you have to learn in school? Just recently to that, I'd been in India, I'd asked that question to school children. And one boy stood up and said, we have to get good qualifications so we can go to America and earn lots of money. But in Sri Lanka, the girl is about 10 years old, stood up and said, the most important thing is to understand God. And they could all tell me, the 10-year-old children could all tell me the names of the 10 avatars. 10 avatars of Vishnu.
They could tell?
Yeah,
yeah.
They could tell. Can any of you tell me? Can any of you tell me? Matsya, Kurma. Varaha. Narasimha, Vamana, Parashuram, Ramachandra Bhagavan, Krishna. Well, that's controversial. Is it Krishna or is it Balaram? Anyway, then Buddha and Kalki. Okay, thank you very much. So you can see the difference because the education makes such a difference because in Sri Lanka they teach the children in the school about Krishna consciousness. But in India there is a systematic propaganda to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. And everywhere, the TV, the newspapers, it's all promoting the idea that we should improve ourselves materially. Then Prabhupada said, therefore there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. This is Prabhupada's mission.
Это миссия Прабхупады.
I mean, even the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam just completely leaves all philosophy and all ideas of the whole world. It just leaves it all completely finished. The first verse of Bhagavatam just completely, it's just on a completely higher level to anything that the whole world has ever heard of. Does anyone know the first verse? Anyone? No. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then? Janmadyasya yaton vayad itaratas charteshva vignasvarat tene brahma ya hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yat surya tejo vari mridang yata vinamayo yatra trisago misha dhana svena sadani rasta kuhakang satyang parang dhimahi. You should all learn this. That's Krishna conscious means. This is Krishna, described in this verse. Not some imaginary Krishna. You can also buy these cartoon books of Krishna from India. Or you can watch some actor dressed up on the Mahabharata TV series with Russian subtitles, but that's not Krishna. Or you can hear about Krishna from various speculators within ISKCON and outside of ISKCON both. There are so many different speculations, even within ISKCON. That's why we should read Srimad Bhagavatam and find out who is Krishna from Vyasadeva as delivered to us by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, read the first verse, the translation.
to describe this verse will take many days of Lord Brahma. Yeah, this knowledge should be disseminated throughout the world. There is knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of his diverse energies. Srimad Bhagavatam is the encyclopedic exposition of the Supreme Truth, who is Krishna. So this knowledge needs to be disseminated all over the world. So sometimes we're talking of preaching through psychology or through Ayurveda or through this or through that, but ultimately we have to present Krishna. The point is not psychology or Ayurveda or UFOs or cooking or any such thing. The point is Krishna. So there's so much to be discussed here. I'll continue this tomorrow because I wanted to leave some time for questions also. It's a mission statement. This is Prabhupada's mission statement, you could say, is in here, in this purport. It's really worth reading again and again and again, this purport. Especially those who have actually caught the current of Srila Prabhupada's mission, which is the preaching of Krishna consciousness. They will get renewed enthusiasm, inspiration, and realization by reading this purport again and again and again. If anyone simply reads this purport again and again and again, praying to Srila Prabhupada for guidance and realization, they can never deviate from the path of Krishna consciousness. And they'll never just lapse into this selfish, just thinking about myself and my own advancement. But they must dedicate themselves for trying to spread Krishna consciousness to others. So, we'll continue this tomorrow. And in the meantime, if there are any questions, we'll take them. And they can be written down, some left over from yesterday. Where Gadadha had the questions, what happened to them? Left over from yesterday? Okay, go get them. Gunadam has the key, maybe?
Please.
Yeah.
Please describe the supreme ultimate state which a living being can achieve in our spiritual development, in realizing God. Also, please describe the steps in this development. And the third question, how does living being who attained spiritual perfection perceives this world?
Well, the first two questions, the answer is the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. In brief, the highest state that one can achieve is that of full surrender to Krishna in loving service. The process, the means and the end merge into the same. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. By following sadhana bhakti, one comes to the platform of... And then what's the third question again?
How does this living entity...
How does he see the world? He sees... Ishavasya idam sarvam. Everything in this world belongs to Krishna. Yeah. Instead of seeing everything as an object for my enjoyment, he sees everything in the world as paraphernalia for Krishna's service. Yeah, I'm just answering briefly because, like I say, to answer this in full, then you have to... That's the whole subject matter of Bhagavatam. You have to read the whole Bhagavatam. Oh, before I forget... some devotees are supposed to be initiated on Sunday. I think the ceremony is on Sunday. So, beads and recommendations should be given to Sankirtan Guru Das. Stand up, in case they don't know you, who's standing up here. Well known in Kazan, but maybe... Please don't delay with us, because... Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, something else I wanted to say. T-shirts. We're seeing devotees wearing T-shirts with pictures of the Lord or pictures of Krishna or pictures of Ganesh. So there's some problems with that. One thing is sometimes you see the picture is cut right in the middle of the face of Krishna.
Например,
on the arm or this, like that. Yeah. Or to have a picture of Krishna or Ganesh on the back is offensive. So it's better not to wear such T-shirts. Mm. Yeah.
Why Krishna needs Syamantaka stone?
Why does Krishna need the Samantaka? Did you say it in Russian? He doesn't need anything. But he has his Leela. So he wanted to show that the best of everything should be offered to the king. So he wasn't keeping the Samantaka money for himself. He wanted to give that to Ugrasena Maharaj.
Is it really important for Grihasthas to get up very early? Is there any particular time when we should get up, wake up, which we should strictly follow?
Well, how should I reply? How you want me to reply, or that which is for your actual benefit? You see, you'll ask this question of 20 different sannyasis, and the one who gives the latest time, you'll take that as, oh, you see, he said you can get up at 11:30 in the morning. So Maharaj said, whoever gives the latest time, you'll quote that. The answer's already there in the question, and the cheating mentality is also there, also revealed in the question. Say no more. Those who don't want to understand will remain confused. And even if I say what is actually meant to say, you'll say, well, that's, you know, that's just Bhakti Vikasaram. He's a fanatic. And why should I add fuel to the fire of your cheating propensity? Yeah, then what else?
Why do devotees give up Krishna consciousness?
Did you say it in Russian? You ask them. Because they like the football game, or they like nightclubs, or it's called Maya. It's called the misuse of independence.
Guru Maharaj, please tell something about importance of attentive chanting of the holy names. Please inspire us for attentive chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Well, we find the acharyas, they mostly speak about the mood in chanting. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he tell us about the mood in chanting? Yeah. What else? The Shikshastika is a whole course in chanting Hare Krishna. So if we actually imbibe this mood, ai nanda tanaja king karang patitang mang vishame bhagam budho kripaya tavapada pankajas titha dhuli sadrishang vichintaya, then there's no question of being inattentive. That's why hearing and chanting have to go on. Hearing will give us inspiration for chanting. None? What else? There's no more questions. All right, yeah.
Why?
Do you want to repeat it in the mic so everyone can hear it? It'll get recorded also.
Why in Srimad Bhagavatam there are so many verses describing parentage, different dynasties? Who was father of those? That was father of another?
Well, in these, the dynasties that are described are dynasties in which many great devotees and the Supreme Lord himself appear. It's not, you know, it's not the dynasty of the Tsars of Russia, but we'll find it, isn't it? That you'll find there's a list of names, and then there's this great devotee who's described, and there's an avatar of the Supreme Lord who's described. So these dynasties are glorious because of the appearance of the Supreme Lord and his great devotees within them.
In one of Srimad Bhagavatam commentaries, this described offenses of the deity from matter of devotion, and it is mentioned there that we shouldn't offer flowers. There are some flowers with which we cannot offer to the deity. What are these flowers?
Well, you needn't worry about them because they don't appear in Russia anyway. No. But the particular kind of flowers that shouldn't be offered, I mean, but then the flowers which are old, stale, which have fallen on the ground, except Bokul and Parijat, they can be picked up from the ground. like this. There are some categories it shouldn't be of. All right, okay, then.
Guru Maharaj.
Guru Maharaj, if a devotee is afraid to pray to some deities on some problems, maybe it is better to address some more merciful tattva, like spiritual master, when we have some problems. For example, if devotee is afraid to pray to Lord Nisimha, that maybe it is better to pray to some other person.
Yeah, maybe. But the spiritual master teaches us to pray to Krishna, so we can't edit Krishna out of our lives.
Sorry?
We shan't. The spiritual master is only a spiritual master because he directs us towards Krishna. If you have any problems, chant Hare Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone has problems. We're not saying that the problems will go away by doing that, but our perception of them will change. We'll see that. Then our perception will come to the Bhagavatam level. Tatenu kampan susamikshamano punjana evatma kitang vipakam. What's the next line? Hridvagva pubhye vidhannamaste jiveta yo muktipade sadaya bhag. That instead of thinking, oh, I've got so many problems, I'm so unfortunate, we'll see that, well, I'm so sinful, I deserve to suffer so much, but Krishna's just given me a little slight punishment, and anyway, let me go on suffering this, and I'll go on with my hearing and chanting about and serving Krishna. Instead of thinking, I have so many problems, I am so unfortunate, I, then we can see that, well, I'm fortunate that I have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. Others don't. Those who don't have this opportunity, they have much more problems. So we should try to do something to help them by giving them knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. The mic is there. Okay.
Regarding the previous question about flowers, and during summer we have no problems, but in winter time we buy flowers, and sometimes they are not very good. They can be a little dirty, a little old. So can we make garlands with flowers? Can we use them?
Well, flowers are very important in deity worship.
Very important.
Krishna likes nice flowers better than gold and jewels. So maybe you could make some special endeavor to grow flowers in the winter also. If devotees in their homes can make some little area, they can make some greenhouse effect, they can bring them an offer to Krishna, that would be very pleasing to Krishna. It's a suggestion to make some special effort to get fresh flowers to please Krishna. Okay, I'll take one more question. Okay, that's not going to go that far. Let him speak and then you can repeat it.
We read recently in Bhagavad Gita that Supreme Lord enjoys and his enjoyment constantly grows, increases. So I would like to know, how does his enjoyment increases? Because the number of jivas is constant.
We can't. There's no material means to understand Krishna's enjoyment or any feature of his internal potency. There's no way to measure Krishna's enjoyment, his power, or any of his potencies. So when it's said that Krishna's enjoyment is always increasing, we simply accept it. That's all. We don't try to measure it or try to accommodate within our tiny brains the nature of Krishna's enjoyment. We have some concept of enjoyment. Everyone has experienced pleasure, isn't it? So, well, if we take all the pleasure of all the jivas throughout all the history of the universe and put it all together it's still not even one tiny drop of the pleasure that Krishna experiences at every moment. Yeah. So by our frog in the well calculation, we shouldn't try to understand the nature of the Absolute. Similarly, everyone knows what is lust or sexual desire. Everyone in this lifetime who's past the age of puberty has experienced this. It is a very strong emotion. Who can deny it? Even in the animals, it's such a strong emotion. You'll see the dogs are very much concerned about getting the bitch in heat. But all that tremendous feeling of lust of every living being in all the universe throughout all of history cannot even compare. It's a perverted reflection of all of that put together is just one drop of a perverted reflection of the love that Krishna experiences for Srimati Radharani at every moment. So did you understand that? No. Do you think you'll ever be able to? Do you think you'll ever be able to understand it? So if we just understand that we can't understand it, that is the level on which we can understand it. And as we are such a long way away from that, it is our duty to serve the servants of 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 those who are serving Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. And that we can do by distributing Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes ultimately that Satyam Param, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is Krishna. Krishna in Dwaraka, Krishna in Mathura, and Krishna in Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.